Hey, everybody. Brian Fritz here on the Between the Ropes podcast. Bonus edition of the podcast with an interview coming up here in just a moment. In the meantime, quick reminder, please subscribe to the Between the Ropes podcast. You'll find us anywhere and everywhere that you listen to podcasts. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Blog Talk Radio, the TuneIn app. Please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. Also, please support us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/betweentheropes. Support us there. And if you do support us with the $5 and above tiers and being our buddy there, you will get some extra podcasts there as well from Michael and myself. So on the podcast today, Trent Barretta, of course, from Ring of Honor and New Japan and with PWG. And Trent has been doing some fantastic work over, especially over the last 5 years since he left WWE. His run there was fine, part of the Dude Busters, but he has really blossomed since he has left WWE and been able to travel the world and work for all these different places. We know him with a lot of different tag teams, especially with Roppongi Vice and Rocky Romero. And now he's teaming up with his good buddy Chuck Taylor as well, with Best Friends. But he has also moved on to the heavyweight division in New Japan. So a lot to talk about with Trent here. And Trent is Trent's a fun guy. He's, a little bit eclectic, but he's just kind of a good guy that just kind of takes everything, you know, one day at a time, takes everything in flow and has some fun with everything. And you'll see that in the interview. So let's get to it. Here is my conversation with Trent Barretta.
All right. Pressure's on.
He is world traveler Trent Barretta. A man, well, I don't even know if he has one T or two in his last name anymore, because when you look it up, you can find it both ways. How's it going, man?
And with, good. It's also with an A or an E sometimes.
Yeah. I love looking it up on Google, and it's just like one T, two T's, or forget Barretta.
Just it makes it hard. It makes it hard for me to vanity search myself.
I know, right? You know? I'm sure you like to search yourself at least once a day, see what's trending right now.
Yeah, non-stop, you know? Anyway, I think the real spelling, the one that gets used the most, is Berretta, maybe? Anyway, who cares?
That doesn't matter. We all know it's you. It's all matters.
Yeah.
So how was your weekend, especially wrestling your buddy recently?
It was good. It was a rough match. I was bleeding a lot. I got hit in the eyebrow, started bleeding. Dustin beat me up real good. But overall, it was a fun weekend.
Yeah.
Had a good time, I think.
How is that wrestling once you get busted open? Does it change anything in the match for you or not?
Got me all fired up. I was really excited that I was bleeding, actually. But I bled once when I was like a little baby. I was like 17 or 18, maybe. And I forgot that you can't see when it gets in your eyes. Especially I wear contacts, too. So my whole left eye was just like a cloudy, orangish blur.
Is that why you're always squinting in pictures out of your left eye?
No, I just got a weird eye, too, but...
I was giving you an out there, man. I was going to say because your contacts or something.
No, I just got a weird eye sometimes.
Yeah, it's funny that wrestlers sometimes, once you get blood involved, especially like a hardwood cut like that, just it's like the intensity goes up a couple of notches and people get excited about it sometimes.
Yeah, I was turning into a psychopath. At one point, I was yelling at Chuck. I was like, come on, hit me in the cut. No, fucking hit me, man. Like afterwards, he's like, what's wrong with you, man? And that's not how I normally am at all. I normally hate being cut. I mean, not cut, hate being hit. So, something happened.
That's good, man. I mean, the adrenaline gets going and it's a different world. Yeah. You know, and it's weird too, because I mean, we're just in this different day and age now where, you know, people don't bleed as much, and especially when it comes to bleeding, like you just don't see it that often anymore. And in any time there's blood, for the most part, it's because it's a hard way. It's an accident.
Yeah, I know. So everyone knows it's legit. So that kind of helps. And I guess back in the day, everyone would always they'd be bleeding, but whoever, like, how would you just start bleeding from the middle of your forehead all the time?
I don't know. You'd have to get hit really hard.
But, yeah.
So explain, what have the last few years for wrestling been like for yourself?
That's hard to sum up. really quickly. It's been busy. It's been my favorite years of wrestling. I don't know. Can I get a more detailed question? Because I'm bad with words.
No, that's fine, man. Because the thing that I was going to say is just to look at like what it's been like for you to go back to the independents and see what wrestling has become, because we call it the indies, but it can't really call everything that you're part of the indies anymore, because New Japan, it's not really an indie. It depends on who you are and how you want to explain it. But Ring of Honor to some people is not an indie. Not that there's anything wrong with being an indie, but.
No, but it feels like those two companies, especially I didn't do Ring of Honor until maybe 3 years ago was my first time. And New Japan I did in 2014. But since then, both companies have grown. The crowds have gotten hotter. They've become more popular overall. So that's been really cool to see. It's been cool to somewhat be a part of it, too. Wrestling's cooler than ever right now, it feels like, as far as New Japan and Ring of Honor goes, and like PWG, companies like that.
Well, I was going to say, especially for yourself, because you've been a part of those groups over the last few years, and especially when it comes to New Japan, when you talk about that cool factor, what's it like from your perspective of being somebody that works for the company and has for several years now and seeing its growth, and especially when it comes to its expansion here in the U.S.?
I don't know. It feels like all the guys all talk about it. Like, it feels like everybody gets a good reaction when they go out. It feels like Attitude Era, WWF, like, you had like the Road Dogg and like, or like Kai and Tai early in the card. Road Dogg's a bad example. He wasn't early in the card, but like Kai and Tai, they were all over, even though they were a smaller act on the show. And it feels like New Japan's kind of like that too, where everybody's really popular right now. And it's fun. It's great. I love working there.
And that's the thing. I mean, when you get reactions like that, because people are coming out to those shows and they're looking forward to how much fun they're going to have. And now you've got New Japan coming back to the United States. You did it last year at Long Beach. Coming back again here.
Am I here to plug that?
Yeah, plug whatever you like, man.
Oh, okay. I mean, no, you just plugged it enough. That'll do. the first one was great. That crowd was awesome. That was, I don't know what words to use, but I had a great time. Yeah, how's that?
That was a great show, because, I mean, I actually went out to California for those shows, and the whole setting at the weekend was so unique, from the press conference at the Japanese grocery store out in the middle of nowhere to...
that happened? I missed that.
Yes, that did happen. to the shows that happen, obviously, that Saturday and Sunday. I mean, just the whole atmosphere in... You know, it was 2,500 people packed in the building. And then this time around, you've got the one show coming up at the end of March, and it's like 5,400 people, and the show sold out in like less than 10 minutes, which is crazy.
And so that, I mean, selling out that fast means all the fans that are going to be there are huge fans. So that you just know it's going to be a great crowd. I'm really, really looking forward to that one too.
What about it with New Japan that kind of made you such a fan and keep coming back and kind of won everybody over there from your perspective?
What about New Japan as a whole?
Yeah. I mean, why did you fit in so well with New Japan when you started there? Why has it worked out so well for you there?
Oh, for me, I have no idea. I can't explain that. I'm just happy. I'm happy to be there. I mean, hopefully people think I'm a good wrestler. I try really hard when I wrestle. I don't know what it is. I don't get it. I don't see anything in me.
Well, where's your trophy from winning the 2016 Super Junior Tag Team Tournament?
Dude, what the fuck? I don't know. We didn't get to keep them.
What?
No.
Oh,
wrestling's not real. No, you don't keep stuff like that.
Oh man.
But how little were those things for anyone? It sounds like I'm just like, if anyone doesn't know the story, we got really, really small trophies when the year before they were 30-foot tall trophies.
Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I was all right. No, it was cool. But in my head, I was like, oh, this will be cool. If we win this, we get to hold those cool trophies. It will be like I can show like my mom. I could put this picture. I don't post wrestling on Facebook, but I was like, this one I can actually post on Facebook. It'll look cool. Nope.
Did you get ever get an explanation on why they changed to the smaller trophies?
No, I never asked or anything. I thought it was funny. I don't really care about trophies, but I think they used them the next year too, right?
I think they did. I think Gato owes you an explanation and owes you a trophy.
I'm going to corner him and let him know how I feel.
You should. You know, when you were teaming with Rocky and obviously with Roppongi Vice and the success that you guys had, and then, you know, the tag team came to its end, you know, last year, why was then the right time for the two of you guys to go your separate ways?
Well, it wasn't our choice, really. It was just, I mean, we had talked about it like privately that he wanted, it was like kind of his idea too. Like, eventually you got to go heavyweight, man. I was like, oh, okay. I didn't want to tell him, like, hey, man, I want to move on from you. Because it wasn't like that. We were having so much fun teaming. But no, the office just told us, like, this is happening.
Hmm.
Rocky's going to be a manager for Show and Yo, and then I'm going to be a singles heavyweight. So that was, we just found out, like, maybe a month before it happened or something like that.
Really?
It was sad, man. I was, like, for real crying in the ring, or at least trying not to cry as hard as I could.
Yeah, because, I mean, you guys worked together great. I mean, you had great chemistry. Rocky's a great guy. You guys have been friends for a long time. Even go back to, like, Wrestle Kingdom 11. You guys beat the Bucks for the junior tag team titles. I mean, that was an incredible match, and it was a really emotional match for you guys.
Yeah, that was a big one. I mean, I don't know. It was – like, as soon as me and Rocky teamed, we did one Ring of Honor weekend. And immediately, we had really good chemistry. And, like, we never argued or anything. Rocky's so easy to get along with. He's maybe the nicest man alive besides Jerry Lynn. And he's, like, I hate to call somebody underrated, but Rocky is so good. And I don't know if people really realize that or I don't know. Maybe they do. I hope they do.
I hope they do, too. I mean, we keep hearing about, like, you know, he turned down a WWE offer to become a trainer there. And then, you know, now he's, you know, helping coach, you know, Show and Yo. And that's great. I'm great that he's an asset that way. But I'm with you that I think he's very underrated. And I think he's got a lot more to give in the ring.
I want him to go for the junior singles title.
That'd be fantastic.
I hope he does. I think people would love that. He's like a veteran, but also an underdog at the same time.
Yeah. So what's it like for you now getting back into the singles run and being part of the heavyweight division in New Japan?
I mean, I haven't really done that much since then. I did one match with Yujiro and one with Kenny. Those are my only singles I've done as a heavyweight. But it's been fun. I love doing tag teams and, like, nothing against Dustin and Rocky. And for some reason, I've kind of been a tag wrestler most of my career, but I always thought I was better as a singles guy.
Why is that?
Especially when it came to, like, especially for junior tag matches where everyone has these crazy tricks.
Yeah.
And my guy doesn't really have cool tricks. I kind of get beat up and make people feel bad for me, and that's my whole trick. So it's hard to do that when it's a 10-man car crash match, you know?
Right. Well, the other thing is, too, that at least on a couple of occasions, you took those crazy bumps off the apron onto the floor. What prompted that? Because you watch those things, you're like, oh my God, is he alive? I mean, just the big splat.
Is this are you doing the Tokyo Dome?
Yeah.
The flip, the dive to the floor. Yeah, that's the one. Not even off the apron, over the ropes.
You're right. Okay. Over the ropes. Yeah.
I don't know. I felt like the match, well, just like I said, I wanted people to feel bad for me. I wanted our team to have sympathy and be the underdogs, and that seemed like a good way to get. I mean, if that happens in a match, automatically everyone's invested, and they're also taking the point where they don't know if it's real or not at this point. They don't know if I'm hurt. I don't really know if I'm hurt or not either, but that's usually what I'm going for when I do stupid bumps. I'm not just doing them for, ooh, look at that. I want people to get invested in the match. And kind of now everyone knows what wrestling is, so you almost have to do something a little bit stupid to try to pull people into thinking or to not being sure if it's real or not what they're seeing. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's
It does, but what's that line? Like, what is too much when you talk about taking stupid bumps?
Joey Janela off a building into the bed of his truck.
Yeah.
that's too much to me. I know what you mean. There's definitely a line of too much. But, there's definitely too much. And then there's a lot of times that happens and then guys just do it just to do a crazy stunt and not, I don't know. I don't want to bury guys now.
No.
But, I don't know what the line is.
I guess you'll figure out the line is when you do cross it. And then you'll be like, okay, well, that was the line. And now I've learned the hard way.
Yes. When my pelvis shatters or something like that.
Well, I hope it doesn't come to that. I mean, when you did that move, you know, at Wrestle Kingdom, we were talking about, you just did the flip right over the top rope to the floor. I was just like,
yeah,
God, how are you getting up from that one? I mean,
I had done it once before.
Yeah.
And, it was way smoother the first time I did it. And I kind of landed in a roll. And, the second one wasn't that much of a roll. It was kind of just a splatter. So, I don't think I'll be doing that one again, but for Wrestle Kingdom, I wouldn't change it. I would do it again for that match, but not again another time.
Right. I mean, that's a big show, but you've done it. You've been there, and you don't need to go back to it. So that's. So when you talked about, you know, you've always seen yourself as a singles guy, but yet you've been associated with tag teams, where it's Best Friends with Chuck or Roppongi Vice with Rocky, or even before that in the WWE days with the Dude Busters. What has been the difference from your mind when it comes to those teams and kind of the chemistry that you guys have had?
Ooh, man, I don't know. Me, that's hard to, I don't want to have to pick between Rocky and Chuck. Those are just two kind of completely different teams in a way.
Right.
And Chuck's he's a completely different wrestler than Rocky. I don't know. I don't have an answer for that.
Well, Busters
were, oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, what feels different about each of those teams? Because you've been successful with each one.
Hard to explain because I don't feel like I'm acting that much differently, you know?
Okay.
Like I'm pretty much the same character with Chuck or with Rocky.
Yeah, well, the only difference
is my character I like Chuck more than I like Rocky character wise.
Right. And you're smoking in the ring.
Yeah. Yeah. Once in a while I'll smoke a cigarette and an abdominal stretch. So that's different.
What prompted the smoking?
I don't remember. Chuck said it was his idea after I got all the credit for being the one that did it in the ring.
Yeah.
And Chuck was, I guess it was Chuck's idea. I didn't remember. I knew I wanted to put the sunglasses on and do a abdominal stretch. And the cigarette idea came up, I guess Chuck's idea. And we were a little nervous. We didn't know if we were going to get in trouble with Ring of Honor management. And, we didn't ask, and we just smoked a cigarette in the middle of a match, and it turned out okay. Nobody fired us, so will we do it again? I don't know, maybe.
My wife, who is not a wrestling fan, she saw me doing some prep for this, and she saw a picture, and I said, yes, this is Trent, who I'm going to be talking to tonight. She goes, that picture looks straight out of the 80s of you standing in the ring smoking.
That spot was the only time my little brother was like excited about wrestling. He's like texting me all these ideas of what I can do with cigarettes. And I was like, he wants me to just win matches and then pin people while smoking. I was trying to explain, like, you can't really kind of buries guys. You can't do that. But he doesn't know what buries guys.
Right.
I don't know.
You're not going to do the stand up, put just a foot on a guy and flex while you're pinning him. No.
Yeah. This match was easy for me.
I think those days they come and gone, especially when you're on the, you know, working the places you're at right now. Yeah. That might not be taken too kindly.
Yeah. No, not at all.
You know, we look at this route that some different people have taken, you know, following their WWE careers. And I think it's very similar on different levels when we look at like what you've done, what Drew Galloway has done, what Cody has done now. What's that journey been like, especially because independent wrestling is cool and it is so hot and there's so many different places where you can go now and you can be successful without being in WWE.
Yeah, When I was in Italy, I was so young. I got signed there when I was 20, about to be 21, and then I was on TV by the time I think I was maybe 22. So like I was a baby. I didn't know what I was doing. So it's kind of been a whole second career after the WWE when I feel like I started to actually figure out what I'm doing in the ring and all that. So I don't know. I can't really explain the journey because it's been 15 years.
Did you leave there with a chip on your shoulder?
WWE?
Yeah.
Yeah, I left there pissed off. And wanted to prove to them, like, I wanted to, I don't want to get into too much burying DeMott or anything like that. But I hated that. I had a real bad time in NXT, and I was pissed about that mostly.
Well, you're not the only one that had a bad experience at different times there. So, but that's a good thing from a standpoint that you left there, you were young, you understood that. Maybe there's some things you would have done a different way, but you channeled that into saying, hey, I'm better than this. And I know I'm better than this and I'm going to prove it. And you've done that, you know, over the last 5 years. I think you have.
Yeah, I think I hope I did. I think just any guy who actually loves wrestling and doesn't give up on wrestling is going to end up figuring it out eventually. Yeah. I mean, maybe they are, maybe they're not, but that's all I did. I love wrestling and I'm not going to stop wrestling.
So what's this travel schedule been like for you between going all the different places, especially when you mix in Japan all the time?
It can be rough. I just had like 2 weekends in a row completely off, which I haven't had maybe in like a year, but, it can be really rough when you do like 3 weeks in Japan and then you land Wednesday night, you have Thursday off, or maybe you land Thursday and then the next day you're going to do 2 Ring of Honors and you're jet lagged and you have a ladder match with the Bucks and the Hardys or something like that. And, it's a lot of pressure to always have a great match when you're tired and dead, but I wouldn't change it. The travel schedule is a nightmare though.
But the cool thing is that there's so many different guys that you get to work with. There's so many different great wrestlers that are out there. And I would assume as well for, especially for you guys and for fans, it's the matchups that we get now are things that you wouldn't have thought of before. Like you're going to be facing Dalton Castle coming up here at the Honor Rising show. And then at WrestleCon, you're going to be teamed with Chuck. It's Best Friends versus the Golden Lovers, which, I mean, who would have ever thought that match was going to happen even just a couple of months ago?
No, it's crazy. And suddenly it's like all these giant matches feel like they're getting thrown at me more often. And I don't know. It's cool. It's cool. I'm looking forward to Dalton and Cork and Hall.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many different cool places to go work. So many different great guys to go work with. It's just this amazing kind of renaissance age, I guess, for wrestling on the indies. I remember even, it feels like maybe it was only about 5 years ago that people were trying to talk about how the indies were dead. And now we look at what it is now. It's like, not even close to dead. Are you kidding me? I mean, they're better than they ever have been.
To me, it's like, maybe it was just because I was a post-WWE guy, but I would get booked on like kind of weird indies where it's not, I don't know. There's like a different kind of indie that's popping up, like all versions of PWG, like Wrestle Circus and AAW. And the crowds are like super hot the whole night. I guess NXT is also a version of that. It's not an indie, but it's a smaller venue with a super hot crowd. And they're everywhere. I don't know. Wrestling's cool.
What's the weirdest indie show that you've been a part of? Because before we started getting these ones that are very well respected and they put on good shows, we all know that there were times where, and there still are to some extent, that there's some hit and miss shows out there.
Oh, I've done some real weird ones, but there was one, it was some festival in Chicago. I feel like it was like a meat festival or something weird like that. And we ended up doing like 2 shows, maybe an hour apart from each other. And my first match was me against Tony Nese, and they had him come out to the ring on a horse and like gladiator gear. It's like some. It's like a, just an outdoor festival with little kids, nobody expecting wrestling. And then that was the first match, Tony Nese on a horse. And then the second match was me against Tatanka for like 30 minutes. Outside in the festival where nobody expected to see wrestling. But that was actually one of my favorite matches I ever had with Tatanka. I loved it.
That's awesome. Did they have a real ring?
Yeah. No, it was a real ring and all that. But it was just an odd setting and odd matches, and there was a horse. But that's just the indie sometimes. You don't know what you're going to show up, what you're walking into, but then end up having fun sometimes.
Oh, that's fantastic. And it's funny now because, like I said, you never know who you're going to face. You never know what's going to be coming up next. Have you thought about what kind of goals that you have for this upcoming year, or are there particular guys that you want to work with that you haven't been in the ring with yet? Or
I don't say goals out loud, really, but I have goals, of course, and I want to wrestle. I mean, there's a whole heavyweight roster in New Japan that I haven't had singles matches with, so I'd love to wrestle all those guys.
Right. I mean, when are you going to get in there with Okada?
Ooh, I don't know. I'm in his group. Are we allowed to do that?
Well, yeah, I think you are, because I've seen...
Is it Ospreay wrestling him soon?
Yeah, he is, and he's already said, like, hey, for one night, I know that we're going to put our differences aside. You know, or we're gonna put our friendship aside or being in a group aside, but you know, we're gonna go at it. I mean, you're allowed to do that. It's a respectful
I'll
match.
I'll fight little Kazu. Hopefully, if I'm in the G1 this year, maybe I'll be in the same block as him.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
I haven't heard anything. I don't know, but hopefully that happens.
Yeah, I would assume. I would hope that you're gonna be in the G1. I mean, I'm sure you're gonna find out. You'll find out a little bit earlier than the rest of us. But I mean, we saw how packed it was last year.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I have no idea when I'm going over and what I'm doing in Japan. I find out at the same time as everyone else for a lot of it. But
is that a good thing or a bad thing that you have to go online to find out if you're going to be in a tournament or what your next match is going to be?
It's not so good when you're trying to take bookings for when you're not in Japan, but you don't know when you're in Japan.
Right.
But, besides that, I guess it's not that big of a deal.
Right. Like, do you?
It's not like I'm asking anyway. I'm real lazy about it. I'm just too lazy to send an email to see what I'm doing.
I was like, do you have any idea what you might be doing at the Long Beach show yet?
I have an idea, actually, for that one.
Well, you don't have to say. I know that they haven't it out there yet, so.
Yeah, I can't say.
I'm not going to push you, but you can tell me if you really want. I'm kidding.
Yeah. Maybe after. We're off the air.
Yeah, there we go. So from your perspective, too, when we talk about wrestling is cool and we see this expansion when it comes to New Japan and even Ring of Honor is hotter than they've ever been. You look at like their show coming up that same weekend. And what is it? 5,000 people are going to be at that show as well, it looks like. You know, we look at...
Is that the WrestleMania weekend show?
Yeah, the WrestleMania weekend show, man, which...
Okay.
They're running head-to-head with NXT that night, and between those two shows and what's going on, you know, for the WrestleCon, whatever show is going on that night, I can't remember off the top of my head. I mean, there's going to be, like, 20,000 people, like, going to three different shows in the same city.
Yeah, and the fans are going to be going nuts for pretty much every person they see, I feel like.
Right.
But I don't think that's not a thing that used to happen, right?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it
not on this level. Right?
Well, the thing that I mean, I love that there's so many different choices. I'm still a little bit pissed from a standpoint that I wish things could be spread out so the fans that go there could go and check out more stuff rather than so many of the bigger shows going head to head. But
yeah.
I mean, I get it at the same time. I mean, WWE is going to look at it like it's our weekend and everybody else, you know, you're just kind of glomming off of us. And everybody else is like, hey, we got fans here that want to see us, you know, but, you know, everybody, some of the bigger shows are on that Saturday night. Well, the big WrestleCon show is going to be on Thursday night. So
that's
a different night, but there's a lot going on in that city for, you know, a 4 or 5 day period.
You know what's going on Friday? I think I might be booked for something, but I'm not sure.
Friday? Oh, I'd have to look, but I know like that.
That's okay.
I know that night. I'll look real quick because I'm trying to think off the top of my head, like what all is going on. Like, I know Friday night for the WrestleCon is like, that's Impact. And then see Rev.
Oh, okay.
Like Rev Pro is like Saturday afternoon and.
Oh, that's an afternoon show. I think I might have told Rev Pro that I'm doing their show.
The Rev Pro show is on. No, it's Friday from 4 to 6:30.
Oh, maybe I'm there. Come, maybe see me. I'm not sure.
Because I know you're doing WrestleCon Thursday night, obviously.
Yeah.
And then you get the Rev Pro Saturday. It's Pro Wrestling Revolver, and then Combat Zone, and then House of Hardcore is Saturday night.
Man, that's so many shows.
I know.
It's nuts.
How many shows are you working that weekend?
Right now, only two that I know of for sure. Maybe three, but I'm not trying to do a ton of matches because me and Dustin are going to be doing the high spots interviews every night, I think.
Okay.
So that just requires staying up. And I mean, it doesn't really require it, but we're going to stay up until 5 in the morning and drink every night.
There you go. Well, you are going to be down Bourbon Street.
So having a noon show isn't the best idea after that. But as of now, it's only two, maybe three matches.
There you go. So you're not going to be like some of the guys that try to work 7 matches that weekend?
No, not at all. I get enough wrestling in. I don't want to try to break any records that weekend.
Yeah.
No, Ricochet last year, it was something like 7 matches he did in 3 or 4 days.
I think Riddle did 8.
God,
and he's
a robot, man. Though he's not made out of real human material.
He was trying to get booked on more. He was just like, "I want to do more. I just want to go show to show." Like, just
yeah. He also wants to go fight guys for real.
Yes,
in a cage.
Yes, so. He does. Well, he got excited because he faced Dan Severn last year on the Joey Janela show.
He wanted to fight Dan. Did he? Did he do that match?
Yes, he did.
Oh man.
Oh, yeah. He was very proud. Talk about he wanted to shoot fight Dan Severn.
I bet Dan Severn did not want to shoot fight him.
Probably not. No. I wonder if Dan knew what he was getting into that night.
He probably just wanted an easy payday. It was probably like an afternoon show. I don't really know.
Hey, it's a fun time for wrestling, man. And everybody gets to enjoy it. It looks like you're having a lot of fun. Whether you're out there at singles, you're out there with tags, and you're keeping very busy. So that's a lot of fun for us fans, too. So we appreciate it, and keep up the great work, man.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me on here. That's it.
We're
done?
I think we're done. I think we'll put a wrap on that because we've gone about half an hour. I think that's pretty good, right?
All right.
We got to
put my shoes on, and my dog's all excited now.
There we go. See? Hey, we got to save something for next time.
Yeah, I'll tell you how the dog went.
Okay.
The walk went next time.
Sounds good.
All right.
Thanks, man. Thanks again to Trent Beretta for the conversation. Make sure you're following him on Twitter. He's at Trentylox. Yes, that's real. Trentylox for Trent Beretta. Keep up with everything that he's doing with his fantastic career right now. The funny thing is, Trent feels like he's been in the business for, like, I don't know, for a long period of time. He's still only 30 years old, so he still has a lot of wrestling ahead of him, as long as he stops doing what he calls stupid bumps. So we'll look forward to seeing Trent in Ring of Honor, in New Japan, in PWG, and wherever his career takes him. So thanks again for the conversation. Please, reminder, subscribe, rate, review the Between the Ropes podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts. Make sure you get it. Share it with a friend and support us on Patreon as well and be our buddy. Michael and I will be back next week for the regular podcast, as we will be talking about Elimination Chamber more when it comes to WrestleMania, as that picture really starts to come into focus, and anything and everything else that's going on in the world of professional wrestling. Thanks again, everybody. Talk to you next week right here, Between the Ropes.